And we're back. That was 5 seconds of dead air.
Is it Basement Alchemy?
No, we're not Basement Alchemy. We're Papa's Basement. You're on the damn show, Michael Johnson. We're not on Basement. Joe's waving to someone.
You should probably know the name of the show that you're on, Michael.
I should know, yeah. But either, I don't.
Either Joe's waving to his family or an ice cream truck came
restricted.
By the studio.
It's like improv. You got to prove that it's made up, and this isn't just a recording
of
real dolls.
Well played.
That look like us.
I would love to host a show with real dolls with just little servo actuators in their mouth. And
I'm up for that.
That'd be great. Like a Kraftwerk video. Everyone, it's Papa's Basement. I'm John Papagiorgio. I am joined today by a very special guest. You haven't heard him in a bit. My comedy mentor.
Oh, my God.
My comedy Svengali,
oh
implying we banged each other for a while.
Well, let's not talk about that.
Yeah. My comedy Hail Bop cult leader, Sean fucking Westfall. Yeah.
That's my legal name now.
Yeah,
Sean fucking.
Like Yngwie fucking Malmsteen. Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
And we've also got his partner in the comedy team, Shawn Michaels. That
my Svengali and my mentor. Thank you very
and
much.
And the guy that fucked you.
Exactly, right.
Michael Johnson.
Hi, everybody.
Nice. All right, let's start the show.
Well, wait.
Wait
a minute.
Tucked back there in the corner.
Oh, wait a minute.
No. We have Joe Gagliardi.
Oh,
like Joe. The last cannoli in the bakery case.
give me the
crusty
one
on the end. Oh.
I would have liked that if I hadn't heard you say like the before I cut you off, and now I was like, he was sitting on it, that inauthentic piece of shit.
It came to me in the moment.
Yeah, so we're going to just talk, I think, a bit with Sean and get the lowdown, get the poop, if you will,
hey,
on Access Hollywood.
Are you doing callers?
We can do callers.
I just had Maria Alexander just texted me. She wants to call in. She used to do this podcast.
Probably in this room. I think.
No, she was live. This is the production studio / foreign language studio.
That's right.
Can we do an homage to Sean Westfall? The number is 1-888.
Well, we can do callers in a bit. Tell Kondo to hold to her horses. We'll get to that in a minute. If she makes it that far, she'll have earned the time.
She's
How's
in California,
that?
Actually. She's
oh, okay. So the show will be there in 3 hours. What's yeah. the problem? We're good. We're golden. All right. No, we have zero prep done.
Zero.
Zero. I just really wanted to make this monkey dance one final time, earn his improv keep. No, Sean, do you want to tell us what's going on with you? Do you want me to tell the audience what's happening here?
Feel free to go ahead and
all right.
But you have to just make it. It has to be completely untrue. Completely. It's
heightened,
not true.
Heightened.
There is an organization known by many names: La Cosa Nostra, the American Mob, the Mafia, and Sean owes them just how much did you lose on the ponies, man?
Like, three and a half. Three and a half.
What's the VIG on that?
Jesus.
Yeah, big ones.
And he's buried under the VIG. He mortgaged his improv studio to pay. I mean,
that's right.
Yeah, I know the mob had a hand in putting together.
Well, yeah. You can't open anything in D.C. without going through the mob.
Without the mob money
that's
in
right,
there.
Right.
Yeah. And you were getting buried under that VIG. Really, if you're familiar with Goodfellas, the scene where they quote unquote bust out the bamboo lounge.
Right.
Yeah.
They just torch the place. So,
yeah. And that was Sean just surrounded by toughs going, fucking shame. You know, like that was Sean.
That's
and
right.
No, Sean is leaving after 4 years with his Unified Scene Theater, which was an improv theater that I did the majority of my comedy learning. That's just an apostrophe at the end because it's
right.
been formal.
That's right.
Cool.
It's not very formal.
Yeah.
At all. That's right.
So I did my comedy schoolings there, and Sean's wife, Kathy, got a great job with Nike over in Portland, and they were just like, oh, you can move this wherever you want, Michael.
I just wanted to be able to see you.
You want to look at my little beady eyes.
I just
want
to see what's
and,
happening.
And, well, now I can't see Sean. Hold on. There we go. Yeah. Nope, that's still not working. I'm going to mess with this while I talk. God bless you, Mike Arm. Sorry, this is the shittiest intro to an episode we've done in months. Can't wait to send you off properly. Yeah, months. There we go. That's perfect. Okay. So, yeah, she's getting mad loot, and Sean was like, hey, you know what improv has done for me? Fuck all.
Nothing. It's yeah. not done absolutely
just a,
nothing.
Just a fistful of hemorrhoids.
No, I please let's be honest. I mean, if you I'm gonna pull the curtain back. If you wanna make bank, you fucking open an improv comedy.
Okay, yeah. I know
we are setting money on fire in the basement. Look, we just didn't need it. That's right.
Yeah, I remember like after I'd done my first year at the theater and you knew I was on the level, you were like, look, man, if you want the fucking coos and you want the cash, this is what you do.
That's right. That's right.
And that's been my life ever since. Just fucking blow an improv puss. Like, it's good God. So I'm really saddened that you're closing the shop because, I mean, I don't know where I'm going to make six figures working an hour weekend again.
Yeah, that's right.
That's good money.
That's right.
That, yeah, and that's our show. Like that's the episode,
that's
guys.
That's right insane. That's that prov money.
Oh. Yeah. Ooh. All right. So let's make some comedy.
Now. Okay.
What? Do you need a word? Do you need a word?
Banana. Okay.
No, I wanted to have Sean one final time because I knew it would haunt me if I didn't. And you're leaving in like a week. I don't. I really didn't plan this out. It was all the prep went into the logistics.
Cool.
I'm seeing comments. Joe, what is being commented?
No, I'm just I'm doing the necessary marketing, John.
Hmm. Oh,
I'm taking Papa's Basement out into the light.
Okay, you know when Neo meets that Colonel Sanders looking fucker at the end of the second Matrix?
The architect.
Yeah, and he learns that he's like the fifth Neo. You're like the fifth person who thinks they're going to save this piece of shit show.
And they're in that get some traffic. They're in that big server room at the end with the TVs. Yeah. And the guy's like, hold on a minute, I got to take a help desk call.
Yeah, it's literally a Cisco server room.
It's like the help desk for Planet Earth. That was the metaphor.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Shit, look at you.
Just saying, I break it down. Film major, bro. University of Notre Dame.
You were a film major?
Film, television, and theater.
Yeah. Wow.
How do you come to that conclusion when you're on a full scholarship from the United States Marine Corps? You ask your counselor, which major has the most girls in it?
Yeah.
And the answer at Notre Dame that year was film, television, and theater. So
very cool.
Put me down. Yeah.
Cool. I did history because I want to masturbate. Oh, and nice. I do to this day.
And you love it.
Yeah, so
it.
Sean, man, you're leaving us. You're abandoning everyone that loves you.
Just like my dad did me.
Who are we kidding, Sean? You never knew your dad.
And,
that's right.
Yuck, yuck, yuck. Cue the laugh track.
Poor Indiana white trash.
That's
right. I accidentally read a book and I had to get the fuck out of there.
Yeah, yeah. Did your daddy smell the lamb? Agent Starling, Agent Seanling.
Fly, fly now, Seanling.
Fly, 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 fly. Fly away.
God bless.
Quid pro quo, Sean.
Yeah.
You got to do it in the Jodie Foster. Quid quo pro.
Would you turn that salient observation on yourself, Dr. Lecter?
I like Sean's Rocky Foster more.
Dr. Lecter.
Yeah.
Dr. Lecter.
Quid quo pro.
Quid pro quo. Dr. Lecter.
Quid pro quo, Adrian. Oh, God.
Quid pro quo. Well, would you turn that observation on yourself, Dr. Lecter? I think you would.
What was the reason? Do you remember when they were...
Why did you become an agent? Because I can't sing and dance. Sorry.
What they were analyzing the moth, I think, they pulled out of the
killer's
the
body.
Cadaver.
Yeah.
And they took it. She took it to those two guys that like lived in a basement.
Right,
like,
right.
Chess,
right.
And the one guy had like cross eyes.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
And was
hitting
on her.
Yeah.
Was that meaningful in the book? Because it seemed to serve no purpose in the movie.
I actually know I actually know what the meaning of that is.
What's that?
So the entire movie.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm going to slightly interrupt. I had never seen it as like an adult.
Right.
And I saw the first 45 minutes.
Okay.
Maybe so, 2 weeks ago.
So do we not go ahead or what?
Well, isn't the entire thing like literally every dude except Lecter's trying to fuck her?
No. Okay. No. It's not
Jodie Foster?
That was my nuance.
I have the answer if you want to hear it.
Yeah, it is.
All right. So listen to Uncle Sean.
Okay.
The movie, and again, the movie thematically is about vision and gaze.
Okay.
Not gaze, but G-A-Z-E, gaze.
You've lost my interest.
Which is why, if you look at the movie...
No homo.
There's first the phrase, no homo, appears everything. But if you look at the movie, if you watch the movie again, you'll notice that every single... like, there are so many shots of just eyes. There are so many shots of just her eyes, Hannibal Lecter's eyes. Demi gets a lot of close-ups because he wants to make sure that
Demi Moore?
Demi Moore directed that movie. Okay. Right? You didn't know. No,
and Sean's on a first-name basis.
That's right. Yeah, wow. Demi. Yeah. But so like the very important scene, like when they go to the West Virginia place and she's in the waiting room,
mm-hmm.
and like you see this like group of policemen and they're all like looking at her, right? Mm-hmm. It's basically about not just the gays, but the male gays, the male sort of the way male sort of predatory.
Yeah, we're all kind of predators.
Right.
Interesting.
And so that guy, that character, is there to let you know that he is not gazing and looking at her at the same way. And if you notice, if she's in any way throughout the movie, the only male she's in halfway flirtatious with is that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what that movie's about. That's why he's there, and that's what that movie's about. Anyone listening, turn off this podcast and go watch the movie.
They already have.
And notice how frequently the camera is just basically just framing eyes. That's all it's really doing. So
yeah.
That's what that movie's about. And by the way, I'm a fucking genius. So there you go.
You are. You are. And that's how you started every show at the Unified Scene Theater.
I'm going to talk about Silence of the Lambs for a few minutes.
Because I'm a fucking genius.
Where did you hear that?
I didn't hear it anywhere.
You analyzed it.
I analyzed it.
That's a Westphalian breakdown.
By the way, I can do this with a lot of fucking movies.
I know.
Okay, Shrek 3.
Except Dumb and Dumber.
Because I haven't seen it. But if I did, you would get an insightful intellectual exposition on that movie.
That pillar of American cinema.
That's right, which is what it is.
Yeah, you would walk out of there like, the human anus is the nexus of comedy.
Precisely.
Explored, especially when Jeff Daniels shits himself in Colorado can't flush the toilet.
That's right.
So Sean is leaving us, and we wanted to say goodbye and have him around one last time. And this is especially like, as attached as you are to me, and we know that's a very deep relationship.
We're literally attached.
Yeah.
There's a skin tag that we
That was
share.
Another Farrell Brothers movie, very much.
Skin tag?
Skin tag, it was Greg Kinnear and Matt Damon.
That was. That would have been a better name
that's
for
right.
it.
That's right. That's right. I remember that movie.
But you didn't watch it.
You know what the theme of that? No.
What was the theme?
No, I was going for a joke.
I've
never seen that movie, so.
I think the theme was skin touching's itchy.
Skin touching is itchy.
But we brought in Michael Johnson, his comedy partner of like what, a decade?
Yeah.
So
2000. I think
2010, maybe 9 years.
Yeah. Well,
so you couldn't have stuck around one more year.
Sorry.
2009. Yeah. I think it was 2009 because
that's what I wanted to hear.
2010, when we went to Harrisburg, we'd been performing a little while.
Yeah.
Like 6 to 9 months.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Sorry.
6 to 9.
Yeah.
Gestational period of a baby.
That's right. And the two numerals that indicate a sex act.
So. There you go. He analyzed the shit out of that. That's my genius. That's my teacher.
The first time was when I did I put together a comedy festival up in Frederick, Maryland at the Maryland Insop.
Now do it in a walking voice.
Do it.
Sure. Wow.
Yeah.
I never.
That's terrible.
He wants me to do another walking impression.
He does a
deaf walking.
He does a deaf walking.
You won't. Everybody's waiting for it.
No, I know. I won't because I'm trying to still dig out of a Facebook post hole that I'm crawling out of.
You've been kissing up to walking for a while. You don't want to squander that goodwill.
But you brought up Brightest Young Things.
Brightest Young Things. That's right.
And we did The Wake.
That's right.
Yeah. That's the first time. That was like 2005, 2006.
Yeah.
And then we played together at Pete Bergen's Chinese Menu.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's actually, I feel like that's the first time we did Shawn
To people
Michaels.
Not in the know, play is just improv talk for performed. But we were like, but can we make improv sound sissier?
When Pete first started Chinese Menu, it was like an eclectic lineup.
Yeah.
And then it morphed into this more standard improv kind of two groups. But it used to, I think that's where we first, he let us experiment at those shows.
Yeah, I think we ended up in sort of a mashup-esque thing together. And I remember that I was on stage, and this is funny because this trope has informed many of our performances, but I was on stage and you were like literally on the phone. And I was having a conversation with I think it isn't a Shawn Michaels show unless that happens.
Someone's on the phone.
Someone's on the phone. Like,
you guys love that phone bit.
That we do.
We did DC Improv, the lounge. We had to learn how to face the audience and do scenes.
Right.
So we would, and they had mics, so that when we first started doing shows there, I think the first time I was with Shawn or. We were doing something, and we invited a couple groups, and I think like Topher and Dave Johnson were in one of the groups or whatever. And I was like looking at that room, which is like a shoebox.
It's like improvising in a tunnel.
And I was like, we better cheat out, because anybody that was going on that stage, you turned and faced each other, like the back half of the room, you know, would start shuffling their feet and start looking towards the door. You had to be like, so we always had to find a way to like face out.
Right.
And like cheat and find ways to face the audience to like keep their attention. Because like, I would say when we first started doing shows there, a successful show was when the lights turned on, the back half of the room wasn't empty. Because people would just walk out.
Right.
Shuffle. What the fuck is this, man?
Where's the stand-up fucking comedy at?
This isn't stand-up, man.
This is not. Those two guys, that's what actually, so we actually went to the Fringe Festival about 7 years ago. And
like
and,
over and, in.
Yeah, no, not, yes, we went to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival.
Yeah.
No, we did a Capital Fringe Festival show.
Oh.
And the title of the show was, they're just making that crap up. And that's literally something I overheard someone in the back of the room say.
No one knows. Fucking Gagliardi and I are looking at doing some stuff over at Summers.
Trying.
And I was talking to the guy, Joe, that runs the place.
Right.
And he was describing improv. He's like, no, it's not the stand-up. It's the one where the five people go on stage.
Five people, they get on stage and, you know, they're standing there and then. Hey, you know, it's comedy, and I don't know what this is.
I don't know what it is, but it's very funny.
It's very funny. This is one where it's made up, yes?
The only worst thing about trying to describe an improv show is
hearing, a podcast.
Is hearing someone describe what they think it might be,
right,
and they're
right.
not sure it is.
Right.
That's the worst you're saying? That's the worst?
The only thing worse than that is then sitting around and listening to improvisers talk about their show and analyze their scenes.
That's awful.
Recounting scenes.
When you came on as the pirate and I was the pilot of the plane.
What were you thinking? Were you thinking that I was going to be?
Well, I don't know, because then you handed me a carnation.
Then you ate a pizza made out of the Pope.
I want you both to note, I'm sorry, Joe, I'm just going to throw you under the show the entire episode. That's the dynamic here.
That's what I'm here for, man. I'm Facebook living, I'm Instagram living, I'm living everything here. So
his nervous laugh betrays the fact he has filmed every bit of improv he's ever done.
Right.
And then, I mean, 20 minutes later is uploading to our little improviser.
What have you learned,
chat.
Joe?
Yeah.
What have you learned?
And then he's like, look, guys, in case you want to watch this. And it's like just 25 minutes of Joe doing improv. Like, I don't want to hear my own fucking voice, much less Joe's. You know what I mean? Like, if there's one thing.
Oh, God. Well, if I could get people to the shows, it'd be different. But I need some feedback, man. You know, I mean,
did you say feedbag?
Feedbag.
Oh.
I need a the barley and oats.
You need a feedbag.
The feedbag of comedy. It's a
what would go into a Joe Gagliardi feedbag?
No, but I want to
like Metagor pizza rolled
have,
up.
The salzich and Metagor.
Have you got a return on investment by the time that you've, you know, analyzed your shows and.
Yeah, I mean, I would say the necessary blow to my self-confidence has kept my...
I mean, you found it helpful?
Ego in check, yeah. I find it helpful in the sense that, like, I'll know if I'm talking too quietly or if I'm, like, if I remember something in my head a certain way and then I watch the video and I'm like, oh, that's not how it came out at all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a good, you know, that's a good perspective to have because, like, obviously you want to know what the audience is looking at.
Yeah. You know, and I think that those are good takeaways. I mean, I don't want to get teachery here, but I think that...
Do it, man.
No, I think that we, improvisers in general, need to understand when showmanship, their shows are bereft of fucking showmanship.
Yes, I could not agree more.
Like, you know, the Michael talking about improvising in a tunnel and saying, look, we need to do this. And that's an elemental thing that comes from A, experience, and B, talent that's been honed. And understanding that, you know, that you can't, it's, I think there's a lot of improvisers, and not just here in D.C., but around the country, who say, yeah, if we just get up and if we do the technical improv shit right, it's going to be funny. Yes and no. You know, the limitations of the space are gonna be...
That's why, like,
yeah,
people mean, like, hey, you want to do a show? It's at this bar. And it's
like, no, nope.
Oh.
I would rather watch bats copulate.
Yeah. So I'd love. Do they do it while flying?
Well, like,
that's
great. Why do you think you want to watch?
What they're doing at the Pinch in the brunch, that works. But if it's like, hey, do you want to compete with the happy hour crowd and put up some microphones? It's not going to work.
No. It's called improv theater for a reason.
That's why I was nervous about Summers, and I wanted to go and see that
And then
space.
I explained that the improv gets literally zero audience, and you're like, okay, that will not interfere with our show. Then. We're good.
Nobody's going to come in? Okay.
Yeah. No, let's go do improv.
Other improvisers will be the audience? Oh, yeah.
This will work. That's basically what it was. I hosted a short form jam after the show. Well, I say Dawn and I, but it was really, she deferred to me. Mm-hmm. So we ran three. Well,
as a woman should.
John Papa George. Georgia, ladies and gentlemen. So we ran three short form games. We just did like a, you know, a zip zap zop circle, and then we did like a Dr. Know-It-All kind of thing, you know, one word story. And then we did Twin Pillars.
Can we just contextualize for your audience?
No.
We're listening to a lot of, improv inside baseball, just so they know.
Yeah. No. Fuck so them. Listener, fuck you. You came for a comedy pod? Go jack it.
And we just talked about how this is like the worst thing to listen to. No, yeah. but that was fun. We did, you know, it was at Summers as we talked. I'm reaching now. Somebody jump in. Papa Giorgio, you want to make another sexist comment?
What? No, I just want to get away from this technical improv jacking off and talk to Sean.
I want to hear, though.
Well, so, no, you're right. I'll leave it at this. You're right. The only people in the audience were improvisers, and I'm done.
Now, how many folks did you have?
There was probably, I don't know, 15.
In the audience?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did anyone walk in during the show or
there was one couple there that clearly weren't improvised. I think two couples.
Were they attractive?
they had something to do that night.
What mark are we at in the video so I can tag that and cut it out for a highlight? John Papa Giorgio's perspective. Yikes.
That was good.
Yeah, it was good.
I like that one.
Did they stay the whole show?
Yeah, they stayed the whole show.
Wow.
Not for the jam at the end, but for the open practice.
Was the door in any way obstructed?
Was there a fire hazard cinch?
There was a puddle of sweat underneath where I was performing, but that's fun.
That's cool, man. That just follows you.
All right. Yeah. But that's all we have now because Unified Scene Theater's gone. All we have is the...
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
We have like... We
just
have,
throw that on you.
It's all, yeah, yeah,
the happy
it's
hour
all my
crowd.
Fault.
No, it is. It's just...
It's not my fault. It's Phil Knight's fault. Who's
That's true.
Who
invented a shoe.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Blame.
Just do it.
You know, this is the... What's the butterfly thing with the butterfly effect?
Yeah. Butterfly effect.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, 30, 40 years ago, Phil Knight invented a shoe. You know, and it took off globally.
And he crushed a theater.
Yeah, crushed a theater. That's exactly what
18 months from now, when Gagliardi's at the top of the observation deck at the University of Texas, Austin.
Too soon. Too soon. Wow.
Yeah, that's going to get edited out. Thanks. Yeah.
John Papa Giorgio, ladies and gentlemen. John Papa Junebug.
From that book suppository building, sir.
It's classic stuff, man.
So I wanted to talk to Sean about, your exit from the city and what you got planned for yourself in Portland. And I just wanted you here, man, because I'm just going to miss you so much.
Well, I can answer that pretty succinctly. My exit from the city will take place on Tuesday. I'm getting on a plane and won't be coming back again.
Oh.
As far as...
Start playing Tuesday's Gone.
Yeah.
Analyze that song.
There's this guy.
Yeah.
Right. And anyway.
But is Tuesday's Gone the wind? Is she like a bird?
I think she's a bird. It's a metaphor. It's a huge,
he
overarching
lost his parakeet.
Metaphor. That's right. And then and this is the thing, too. So, like, as far as what's going to happen to me in Portland, that seems passive.
What also seems foreboding.
What will be done to me?
What will be done to you?
Very ominous.
As far as what I'm going to be doing in Portland, I have no idea. So if you guys have any fucking clues or ideas, please, by all means. And listeners, too, if you,
you know, yeah, what,
if
I
you
think,
have an idea, if you want to even get a poll going, one of the...
Anytime you're moving to a new place,
right.
I would say for the first week, you just... in order to get a feel for the city, you just
Craigslist
sit around
casual hookups.
Sit around your apartment and jack it.
Wait, in
and that you really start to get a feel for your surroundings. And, you know, by the eighth day, you want to get outside.
I've heard in the southern hemisphere, the jack goes the different direction.
Right, it does. It actually goes over your shoulder.
Wow. I need to get to Australia. Yeah. I have
that's sleep. How they invented the boomerang.
I did not know.
Yeah, that's why they.
You know, you learn something new every time.
That would have made a great boomerang.
That koala thing is snaking up on my
head. Well, I got an idea. I don't know. That's mine's cocky.
I don't even know what my accent was.
No.
I thought you said sit there in a jacket.
Yeah, like real fancy. Like,
or know, just sit like in a nice in a, smoking like jacket.
Smoker? Jacket in a jacket.
A jacket in a jacket.
I have your new improv show.
Here's your M.C. Escher sort of
Sean, jacket in a jacket.
Jacking the
you
smoking
just,
jacket.
You just come out with nothing but a jacket right. on like you're a fucking Disney character.
Does Nike make
just blue Nike, with his dick out?
Does Nike make a suit jacket? You could.
Does Nike want to be part of jacket?
I will. I will check about sponsorships. I will see if
jacket.
Welcome to Jacket It with Sean Westfall.
Hey everyone,
that should be a podcast. We should do that, yeah. guys.
I would listen.
I would listen.
I'll jacket it.
This is the part where he jacks it.
A 15-minute episode. This is a slow one. Yeah.
No.
Come on, stop the talking and just get to the jacket.
This fucking foreplay is out of control.
It'd be like, who was that comedian, Gallagher, that would smash the watermelons and everybody would get soaked in the front row? You'd have like people in the front row just getting spooked.
Getting their raincoats.
And then after a while, you just make your brother do your
Did he do that?
Jacking it with Sean, too.
That doesn't sound like Sean.
It sounds... His voice is an octave lower.
Sean's
and his penis is larger.
Hi, guys. I'm Sean.
This is really one involved fan that we've created. Would you stop listening to that podcast?
Papa's Nation.
Jacking it with Sean, man.
Well, Kathy.
You're just picturing him jacking it. We all are. Yeah, it's cool.
I'm just killing the podcast. Kathy's already well into her job, right?
Yeah, she is. She's been there since.
Kathy is Sean's wife.
No, thank you for contextualizing.
Yes.
And for reminding me. Thank you very much.
You've been doing so much jacketing.
He was jacket.
Michael said it's a great way to know a city, also a great way to say goodbye to one. <That's right. laughs>
And also just a great way to be in a city.
Yeah.
Kathy is in
Jacksonville.
She's in
the five stages of jacking it.
I hope somebody turned on your podcast for the first time.
They talk about Jack. Why do they do that?
Where can I see this?
I'm finally going to give John's podcast a chance here.
Did he say Portland?
Little Johnny.
She's been in Portland since the second week in July. She's been there for a couple weeks.
Wow. Yeah. So you really have been checking.
Come on. What else are you going to do?
But
truth and comedy, man.
Do you have any idea like what you might game plan for when you get there?
No, I'm not kidding. I have absolutely no.
Yeah, I feel like he covered
now,
that.
Is that. I have no idea. Liberating or terrorizing?
I'm sorry?
Is that liberating or like terrifying?
Well, so you've heard me say this before, and I think you've heard me say this before, but I mean, it's liberating because for the first...
And for Kathy, it's terrifying.
It's terrifying.
Get the fuck out of the house! What are you... What are you jacking it?
He got his jacking monocle in again!
That's right. No, I think that, these sort of my set talking points. I'll clock through them really quickly, then we can move
Thank
on.
You.
But yeah, you're
welcome. That's what we want. You to just condense this as much as possible. Let's get to the dead air.
So
I
spent 25
points.
Years in advertising.
Jack won.
Jack won. 20 of them in this city where my job was to teach. My job was to use my creativity, my creative energies, whatever that vague, nebulous thing you want to describe, whatever this thing I have is, to elevate brands, to market. Are you okay? To elevate issues, to help sell products or services, right? Mm-hmm. Right. That was my day job. my night job.
Jack 2.
Jack 2.
Stroke 2.
Stroke 2. Teaching improv comedy, where I founded not one, but two improv schools here in D.C.
Nice.
And so at least two, in some cases three, in some cases four times a night, I would A,
jacket.
You think I'm not on that green? I'm on that green. I would A, jacket, but B, then go teach other people to be more creative. To jacket creatively, right? That's a long time to A, jacket, and B, to teach other people, to lend my creativity, lend my creative energies, whatever they are, to other people. I think it's time for me.
You go to Portland day one.
Jacket on the runway.
You just go with the mindset to take over the entire improv scene.
I don't want to do that.
No, just impose your will.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. They're so passive over there, the West Coast.
No. There are extraordinarily talented people.
Kristen Scheer's there,
right? Yeah.
And it's just her.
There's actually two improv comedy theaters.
Though. Oh, okay.
No, remember when Pesci and Casino goes to Vegas and there's like no organized crime and he just does it? That's going to be you.
Yeah, right.
Just be.
So I'm going to end up beaten to death by a baseball bat?
Eventually, cool. You and your brother, Sean, too, after a jacket show.
Are you resistant to getting involved in the scene?
I'm resistant, yeah.
It sounds that way.
I think you go with what you know.
Though.
Stay in that comfort zone.
Yeah.
Guys, I've been doing it for 25 years.
Is there anything that you want to do? Like, you're like, I haven't done this yet.
I've always had ambitions to write, and I'm not going to even go down that road of what that would look like. Because, I mean, I have an idea, but I'm not going to share it here. Mm-hmm. But, you know, a president
who's also a dog. Sorry, you
fucking stole my novel, you prick.
He smells crime.
That's right.
A book? What are we talking? Screenplay? Book?
You name a genre and I'll say yes.
Yeah.
Oh.
So I think that I'm
going to...
I think that... Yes.
Nice.
I think that I'm going to try to like focus my energies there.
What breed is the dog?
What about the bookstore that you were thinking about?
Oh, Powell's Books. I might get a job at Powell's Books.
Yeah. So wait a minute. Wait. So you're going to be an actor...
No, I'm not going to be an
actor. No. You're going to be
a writer. Or
a former actor. Moving to Portland.
Yeah.
To write.
Yeah. I don't know.
That's not a cliche.
I'm.
Is it?
Are you going to get a beret instead of a coffee shop?
Yeah. What else do you do?
Are you going to start doing a spoken word?
Of course.
Nice. I'm down, man. Christ. Put me down.
I don't know. I really have no idea.
For me, I could not have idle time.
Well, here's the thing, Michael. I have always been ambitious and driven. Like, even when I was young, I always kind of knew what the next step would look like, and I knew what the next step to take were. This is the first time in my life where I don't feel that, and it's actually really rewarding. I don't know. I don't want to get all
one of a suicide note.
No blueprint.
I am numb.
I'm sorry?
Like
no blueprint, yeah. No plan. And, look, there's something healthy. There's always something healthy to being ambitious. I mean, God knows we've met unambitious people in our life. We had moments in our own lives.
Sometimes you've been on their shows.
Exactly, right? But some, you know, or we've had unambitious eras or moments in our life. I've always been completely, I've always had a schematic about what the next step would be. And in many cases, it's an inauthentic way to live because everything you do is somewhat premeditated. And I'm grateful for the opportunity to not have to think that way. I really am. Yeah.
Cool.
Even the Shawn Michaels show, I mean, you heard me talk, you know, 5 or 6 years ago. I had a plan. I was like, we're going to do this. We should be here. Here's where we should be performing. And I think that was detrimental because I couldn't enjoy just simply, A, you know, working with you, as you know, and I did, you know, but
I mean, no, I know what you mean,
and I couldn't enjoy even on stage because if you're up there thinking this has to be a good show because this is a stepping stone to this and this and this, man, and that's
watching our stuff the other night on YouTube, which you guys can find
on YouTube. Sean Michael,
if you have Google or
yeah. Michael spelled with a K,
right. Yeah,
but that was the one thing I regretted is that when you start this endeavor, Joe. And you start to try to match your expectations
right.
with your reality. It does nothing but create pain.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless your expectations are being met.
Right. What book should they read? Should everyone read?
Great Expectations.
Yes, Great Expectations by Charles Dickens. Then the book after that is The War of...
The Roses.
1812. Yes, The War of the Roses.
The War of Art.
The War of Art. Yes, right, right.
It's like, oh, yeah, the book that I gave you.
The War of Art. I've heard of The War of Art.
Stephen
Pressfield. It's a fantastic book.
Can I have your copy?
I'll get you a copy. It's on its way to Portland, Oregon.
Oh,
Michael. I'll get you a copy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Pretty nice that you hooked me up with a free book.
Yeah. I mean, I learned by my employers.
Do I get a tote bag too, or what?
You do. I will give you a book. Too.
He's gonna get me Improv for Dummies. That's what he's gonna get me.
I will get you that one too.
It's a yellow cover. Have you seen a little chalkboard on it?
I want to see what Michael will write to you on the inside of the cover of Improv for Dummies.
Mm.
Just quit.
it'd be an application for Mike.
No,
Best Buy,
I mean,
Michael's a sweetheart of a guy. He would never discourage an improviser in that way.
He would just text me and be like, "Even don't ever call yourself Joey Gags."
Yeah, don't call yourself Joey Gags.
Unless you want to headline the Ramada at the airport.
And, hey, it's me, Joey Gags.
Who's from out of town? And best of luck.
I know what you're saying, Joe Gagliardi, a nice French boy.
I got a comp room at the Howard Johnson.
You know what? I started thinking, though, like if...
Now I can see that pretty face.
If you wanted to do that, I mean, that could be a way to start.
Hmm. Headlining the Ramada at the airport?
Yeah.
I mean, like, or even creating that character, that persona.
Well, all right. Let's ask the only person here that's actually started something from the ground up.
I have created life.
With my dick.
Yeah.
Just saying.
That's, are you talking to the owner operator of Hercules Safe and Lock?
And Papa's.
Yeah. Yeah, but Papa's basement was a gift from his father, like Trump.
That's true.
I just signed
a small gift from my dad.
Son, here's a podcast.
Yeah,
Fairfax Public Access.
I just signed a lease on an in-law suite. Don't tell me I drive a Dodge Stratus. Yeah, I know.
Oh, God.
So, no, what would you want to ask, Sean?
I was going to say, if you were going to do it again, instead of starting an improv theater, you're going to start a stand-up theater. If you were a young stand-up, you would never do that, would you?
No, I would never start a stand-up comedy theater.
It's just not.
Never.
Never do it.
No.
Do you think, is there any circumstance in which you could see your life playing out in such a way that you pursued stand-up rather than, like, improv and acting and...
Look, I'm 54 years old.
Yeah.
I barely get the pop culture references that are out there. I'm not really all that up on, I don't have the patience for dealing with some of the bullshit that I would have to deal with if I went into stand up or tried to go into stand up or tried to build an act. And I'm also experienced enough to know that you can't just go into stand up.
Yeah.
You have to fucking.
It's a grind.
And again, I'm not trying to denigrate stand up. Walking up on stage by yourself.
And then smashing a melon.
And smashing a melon. But walking up on stage by yourself and making a room full of strangers laugh is the performance equivalent of hitting a Nolan Ryan fastball. It's fucking hard to do. It's really fucking hard to do. And the people who are committed to doing that and grinding it out, God love them. And there's no way that I'm too old and I'm too impatient. It would take me a couple of years to get where I'm, you know, that. I just don't have the patience.
It's a whole different thing. I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's a whole different thing.
Nolan Ryan, Mr. October, respect.
That's right.
Nolan Ryan, the Iron Man.
That's right.
You know what? That is though. if you want to save yourself some pain on like asking,
I don't, but that's fine.
Okay.
I mean, I was in the Marine Corps for God's sake. Why would I want to save?
That's
no, but I
clearly that ship has sailed.
I obviously am just naturally better suited for
naturally better than you
suited for improv and like the stuff that we did in sketch and right, acting. Yeah. And for the longest time, I kept this little voice in my head is like, I should really do stand up. And when I didn't want to do stand up, mm-hmm, and I didn't want to,
yeah,
you either do it or you don't.
Right.
You know?
Oh, I have the same thing going. And like, I love improv. Like, clearly I've cast my lot, but I'm just like, when are you going to get serious about this and do open mics at Mellow Mushroom?
Well, right.
You can, there is a more, I guess, visible route with stand-up, but it doesn't mean that there's nothing, you know, with what, you know, doing other aspects of comedy, whether it's sketch, improv, or writing, or whatever it is.
I don't, I mean, I think there's a more, I don't remember the word you use, but there's like a clear path to success with stand-up, I guess, because there's just more stand-up opportunities, you know? I mean, it's just, there's more clubs, there's more opportunity for stand-up shows. I mean, who, like, even in New York City, there's what, 2-3 major successful improv theaters? Anybody
knows? There's one less in D.C.
Yes. Wait. You're talking about stand-up places versus improv comedy?
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, Michael's point, I think, is correct. That there's an like, you can visualize a successful career as a stand-up comedian much more easily than you could visualize a successful, lucrative career as an improviser in some form or fashion.
Well, look, let's put the word success in scare quotes.
Yeah.
Because, because what's a successful career? What does that look like?
I know.
And what are you indexing that to? And what are you measuring that? I mean, like, you know, there are stand-ups who have made it who are some of the most miserable fuckers on the planet, and you wouldn't want to spend, you know, 5 minutes in the same room with them. They're just awful human beings.
I measure myself by the Kenny Powers Index.
Which is?
You know, just do I have the ladies, the money, you know.
The money / poon tag.
Yeah, exactly. An arm like a fucking cannon, cock like a python, and the mind of a scientist.
You're fucking out.
Yeah.
Hashtag quotes. No, I mean, so for me, I just had this conversation yesterday with my troop mate, Dawn Perlis, shout out. She asked what success meant. Like, what do I want out of comedy? I just want to be able to make a living. It doesn't have to be, I don't need to be famous. I don't need to be rich. Mm-hmm. I just want my job to be in comedy somehow. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. That'll be totally fine. As long as I can contribute to my family financially and not have to work in a cubicle or for some dipshit put me down. If that means stand up, if that means improv, if that means podcasting, if that means being Michael Johnson's personal assistant, buying jewels on whatever soccer game he was playing on his phone before the podcast. That's what you want. You need somebody to manage your
buying
jewels.
Buying jewels.
I need more jewels.
That's the thing, though, is like nobody wants to hear it, and nobody really wants to say it, but it is really your definition of success if it is a certain expectation. Like for me, the longest time, I felt like an absolute failure because I was like, The further I got away from what I thought the goal was, which was actually to be on SNL, and then the further along that went, and then the more and more I had to admit that that's never going to happen. Mm-hmm. The more
with that fucking attitude,
the more miserable I got, and then again, like the other night when I'm watching our sets on YouTube and looking at like the pictures and everything that I was like, holy shit, we created these shows. After these shows, there are all these pictures of all these people that that were on the shows and all these relationships and all these like different things. And I was like, we had a 10-year run.
Yeah.
As a, you know, and doing show after show after show. And honestly, when we weren't doing it, that's when I learned that I was like, oh, that was the thing. That was my favorite thing to do. And now that's gone. So, you know, and we didn't get rich off of it.
No.
But at the same time, gosh, I'm certainly grateful for that over, you know, maybe what could have very easily been me, which is never even tried, you know, never even gave myself an opportunity to do. Or I don't know. There could have been a million different outcomes, but What are you looking at me like that for?
No, this is just like the saddest, most real thing I've ever heard on the show. Like,
really? I didn't think it was sad.
It's real talk. It's real talk.
Fucking wait.
The talk is real, goddammit.
Did that sound sad?
I mean, not sad in me being an aggressive piece of shit on the air. Oh. Like, just like it was heartfelt and... Yeah, I can completely see you created something that you cared about over the course of 10 years. And
I would say, like what Sean was saying earlier, sometimes the worst part about it, and if there could be a worst part about it.
Wait, when you say it, what's the it?
Well, the worst part about my looking back on it is that I could have enjoyed it more rather than trying to look forward all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, should we be here? Should we be doing this?
Yep.
Why doesn't this, you know, person or these people do, what do they think? Rather than like, we had this great monthly show and then we go do other shows around the area. And we, you know, that was the piece. Like if I could go back, cause like I was thinking about it later on. I was like, there's a good chance, like, you know, anything that I create outside of improv, whether it's writing, acting, film, what have you.
Dance.
may not even come close to that sort of satisfaction and experience again.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't go back and recreate it.
What if I told you in 3 months, if you stick with me, you won't even remember this piece of shit's name?
Oh, I just said all that because he's here.
Okay. Nice. Get after it.
But well, that's the hardest part.
So let's even go right to the present moment we're in right now. So here's four of us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Four guys, you know, four.
Telling it like it is.
But here's the thing. We're on a podcast. Do we care if people listen to this? I mean, we kind of care, but we don't care. We're having a fun conversation.
Well, for his sake, I'm trying to get it to Lorne Michaels.
But we're enjoying this, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually have a theory that one of the reasons that people become musicians, artists, comedians, writers, isn't necessarily because... they have, you know, ambitions about it. Certainly they're ambitious or they think they have a talent. But half the benefit of becoming a stand-up comedian or half the fun of becoming an improviser, half the fun of becoming a writer, is you get to hang out with other writers and other comedians and other funny people and have those fun moments. You know, I went to the Baltimore Improv Festival last weekend.
Thanks for the invite, by the way.
You're welcome.
Yeah,
you didn't get it?
Name drop on the festivals, exactly, too.
Yeah. The best.
So I was specifically there to go see Fuck That Shit, which is a team that won a cage match at UCB like years on end, like weeks on end. They would win every single time. And specifically to see Tim Martin, who's a very good friend of mine. So I go up there and Fuck That Shit fucking kill. They were. It's easily one of the funniest shows I've seen in a year or two. It was just like hilarious, brilliant. So afterward, you know, and I knew this. I knew they're a troupe. They're all going to go hang out together, right? Right. So I go see Tim. I say, hey, Tim. We you know, outside the theater, we hug and you know, nice to see you. We start talking, and then they all go, hey, we're going to go have pizza. I go, hey, Tim, you go ahead and you go to pizza. He says, no, you come with. I go, what? I'm not going out with your fucking troupe. You guys are a troupe. You guys. But again, I go out with Terry Withers and Michael and Don Finelli.
Bill's son?
What?
You said Terry Withers, sorry.
Billy Witherson? who runs Baltimore Improv Group. And half the fun of that experience was watching them banter back and forth, make, you know, in jokes, bring stuff up, laugh. That's – we should – you know, we keep – I'm kind of getting so – Poncy and philosophical and pretentious, but we should be in the moment. We should not discount that fun of just being around other people, other like-minded people, because there's value and benefit rather than indexing it towards, but where's this next step going to get me? You know what I mean?
It's the only time when I'm doing this sort of stuff. It's literally the only time where I'm not trying to escape. I mean, like, if I'm at home where people quote-unquote relax, you know what I'm actually doing? It's a fucking tempest up here, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's nothing but, like, Netflix on porno, on Reddit, on shoving food in my face. Like, I can't get enough fucking escape.
Right.
This is the only time I'm, like, out of my head and in the moment. Like, I go to your theater and I'm just like, you know, shooting the shit. That's why I would show up so early for every show, and then I would just break into your theater like an hour early. You'd be like, why the fuck are you here?
Hercules Locksmith.
Yeah,
called.
Yeah, exactly, because I wanted to stare at the damn wall because right. It's better than anything I'm doing at my house.
Right.
And that's why, you know, I'll extend the evenings. You were always too good for it, but not for fucking Tim Martin's pizza. But when we invited everyone else out for egg rolls at Chinatown Express afterward,
yeah.
You know, and then like Mike would leave and I'd talk to Gagliardi for another fucking hour. Like my goal was just to be around these people I care about and who entertain me. And that's,
The funny thing is, man, in the past, ever since the Unified News hit a few weeks ago, look, I'm going to humble brag a little bit. I think my wife's pretty hot. You know, many nights I have chosen, rather than to sleep next to this beautiful woman, I have chosen to talk to John Papa Giorgio on the phone till 2 in the goddamn morning.
And then we jack
about comedy. Then we jack it. J-O
well, there
butts.
You go.
Hashtag J-O butts. But no, it's like, oh, man, you know, we keep in mind, we just ate. We just did a show together. Then we just ate egg rolls together for like an hour and a half. And then we talked on the drive home. And then I got home. And then we talked. You know what I mean? And
it's this is all I give a shit about, man. Yeah. It's the only thing that, you know, when I used to, I would say for the better part of my 20s, I worked like these boring ass regular jobs. And I really, I've talked about this in my personal life, but maybe not so much on air. My life was profoundly shaped by Office Space. And like, yeah, everyone laughs at that.
Right.
But I changed my major from comp sci because I saw what the fuck my future would
be. Yeah, that's true.
And then, you know what I did for the rest of my 20s? I went by Jennifer Aniston's advice, which was like, look, most people hate their jobs, but you find someone you like and you like make a go of it. And that's what I did. Like, I just tried to find my happiness romantically. Now, I was kind of finding fucked up people for the most part, and maybe I shouldn't be so shut off in that aspect of my life now. But like, the last 10 years has been nothing but me trying to make some sort of comedy thing happen.
Yeah.
Mostly through this podcast, but in the last 3 years, when I started doing classes in comedy and then I found you guys, like, that's been it. And that's all I fucking cared about. Like, I've got literally 3 shrinks at this point. And the third one, who works in tandem with the second one, was like, so what? You're never going to, like, get a girl or something again? Like, you're just going to live this solitary life?
Right.
And most of the shit she said was, like, so gotcha for me. Like, she would say this, and I'd be like, wow, you know. But she said that, and I was like, yeah, I kind of don't give a fuck. As long as I'm doing comedy, like, I figure at some point I'll get a girl or something.
Right.
You know, I know a couple brothels. Like, as long as the pipes are drained once a year, like a fucking pool, you know, like, I'll live.
That's how you're going to get the girl, though. I mean, I'm telling you, like,
for $300, we've been
through. Well, I mean, obviously,
no, I know exactly where you're going.
Yeah,
you know,
because you're going to be true to yourself.
I mean, you know, people aren't looking for partners who are into them; they're looking for partners who are passionate about something.
Yeah, you can rend your shirt like you're screaming at Stella, you know, because you're not paying attention to you.
That's right.
Yeah, you got to be in your element, man. You got to be living your truth. Yeah. You know,
do you have to be living in your mom's house? Because I have that nailed like Christ to the cross as well.
I mean, I'll tell you right now. John, one of these days, you're going to take a trip to New York, and you're going to come home and find that I moved all your shit out of your mom's basement and into a luxury apartment.
Oh, my God. This is the Matt Damon Ben Affleck right there.
Yeah.
When he's going to drive up.
You know what the best part of his day is?
This is what the best part of his day is, when he drives up to your place and you're not there.
But, let me ask you this.
Your mom still is.
Yeah. He fucks my mom.
I have a furnished basement. What if you moved into my house and we could do Papa's basement from Gags' basement?
Papa. That's a little meta for my taste.
Hey, Papa Gags.
Papa Gags.
Papa Gags.
Yeah, Papa Gags. Yeah.
Gags.
Papa Gags.
I don't think Sean knows this, but I actually performed with a troupe the other night, and we were the West Phallic symbols. Yes. The West Phallic symbols.
Like that.
Yeah. I don't know. That's a reference to you, Sean. I don't know if you got the joke.
What?
Yeah.
Wait,
he was like,
minute?
Wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
Westfall.
The first phoneme, West. The second phoneme.
Phoneme.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, wait. Yeah. Now, thank you.
It's a homonym.
Yeah. They went with that instead of Sean's penis.
Yeah. Sean's dick. Now
Sean's
come to the
erect cock.
Sean's dick. jacking it with Sean Westy. Classic times. Oh, well. I mean, I don't know. Sean, let me ask you this. Do you have any plans in Portland when you get there? Do you know what you're going to do? You want to Mike, you want to ask
that? We just got over.
He's
jacking on the tarmac.
Jacking it on the tarmac, man.
Right.
You better come out of that terminal like Nixon with the two peace signs up, like Portland. Yeah. I have arrived, baby.
Yeah, because these, you know, planes don't just pull up to. You know, yeah.
And, like, they, that's actually how he jacks it too. He just he crams it between two peace signs. That
pardon me, pilot. Can you stop here?
Let me ask you this: so as far as comedy goes in DC,
who was the funniest?
Yeah. what's a memory that just jumps out at you as far as like just bizarre or funny or amusing or like it, all going all the way back, you know, to the Best Western days and
the Tyson
or yeah, just
what was the name of that club? That was literally my first
Wiseacres.
Yeah. God damn it.
Mike Diesel. Listen, you're not look, you're looking down. You need to look up at the audience.
Oh god.
He did a killer with Jim from Taxi.
Who, me?
No, Mike Diesel.
Mike Diesel.
Oh!
Crush.
Okie doke.
Mike Diesel. Like when you get to Portland and people are like, "Oh, you're from the big city." I don't know people in Portland.
No one's
you. Hey, from the man.
I don't know
what DC's like, but this is fucking Portland.
Coast. Nobody's going to fucking care that I'm in Portland. Nobody's going to give a shit.
But when they're like, "Y'all from DC, tell us a story about down DC down there." I don't know how does people in Portland talk anyway. But what's a story you're going to tell about? What's a craziest DC story you're going to be
the craziest DC comedy story?
What's a memory that jumps out at you?
9/11.
After all,
I seen a rat this one time. Wait, I'm still doing the Portland.
In DC?
Yeah, just in general. Oh, or God. Like anything that, like, early days, first times.
Oh shit! I mean, I've told this. I think I've told you guys this. I had to have someone arrested out of my class once.
Yeah. Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was it? It was a student, right?
It was a student. Yeah.
What did he do?
He negated premises. Like,
yeah. His second
he
beat
was not actually listening.
I don't know what that group game was, right. But I'm gonna have you fucking arrested. No, I don't want to. It's a long story. I don't want to go into it. But, yeah, it's basically.
He couldn't take a note.
You got to be able to. You got to. You can't be.
All right. Well, if you want to go into that one, like, as far as. Early days doing open mics, getting your feet wet, first doing comedy in D.C.
I mean, the things that stick out are I don't.
What did you do first, stand up or improv?
Here in DC.
What was like the first thing you ever performed that you can remember? Not like
That's easy, and that's how I sort of met a lot of people.
Yeah.
Dave Wright, who Michael knows.
Oh yeah.
Who runs Last Ham Standing, which is now out way out in Percival
and Reston.
Yeah. In
Next Stop Theater.
Yeah. But Next Stop is like closed. But I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Next Stop Theater. Before he moved to Virginia, Dave and Buster's up in Rockville started doing murder mysteries. They started doing murder mysteries. And I saw, I don't know where I saw, I think
wait,
I saw.
Dave and Buster's has a stage?
They have a huge stage.
Okay. I know exactly what you're talking about.
And so they do murder mysteries that were catered. Like you'd buy a dinner and you get to take part in sort of like murder mysteries.
Fuck.
Okay. I'm not kidding. I'm not making this up. And I saw, one of the first things, this is like 2000, when I first got, within the first couple months of being here in D.C.
When did you move to like Tyson's area or whatever? Was that before?
Wait. So you mean when I moved to McLean?
Sorry. Derailed everything. When were you McLean?
Like, yeah, 1999. That's the first place I lived in here in the D.C. area. That was back when my wife and I were together.
Mm-hmm.
So I opened the post and there's guy auditions for this thing at Dave and Buster's. And I walk into this audition and it's packed, like literally, like, and it looks professional, like people have headshots and things like that.
Yeah.
So I'm going up against all these actors, and there was like four Dave and like five or six other people who were casting.
Was
this
Buster
thing.
There too?
And Buster, well, I'm sorry, Dave and Buster, they were doing coke in the back room, but Dave Wright was casting this, and it was pretty packed. There were like 50, 60 people there, and some pretty experienced looking actors who had like the headshots and like, and my headshot was, it was shitty, it was awful, wasn't it?
Printed out on a dot matrix.
But I was one of the people that was one of five or six people that ended up being cast in this next iteration of murder mysteries.
Nailed it.
And what we would do is we would you get these scripts from like the Dave & Buster's headquartered in Dallas, so they would ship these scripts to you, and they're shitty, they're awful, they're terrible. So what we would do, this is like my first experience being in a writer's room. Mm-hmm. Because me, Dave, a couple of other people who were involved, Stefan Walker, you know Stefan?
I don't think so.
Steve Wannell, a couple of other mm-hmm. people who have since gone on to like do other things. But we would sit around and we would rewrite this stuff, right? We just come up with different lines, different characters. And it was pretty fucking good and like actually fucking funny. So that's how I first met Steve. He told me about Liz Demery, who was doing comedy sports. And that's how I started meeting people here in the D.C. area. Nice. And again.
How long did you do Murder Mysteries at Dave & Buster's?
About a year and a half, 2 years. And that's when I finally decided I wanted to do improv again. Let me put it this way. I was starting getting comedy sports gigs, and I was enjoying that much more. So, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
When was the first time? You remember the first time you did stand-up? Remember like the very first? Your very first time getting up on just you and a mic?
Yeah, it was in Hawaii.
Nice.
Yeah.
What year?
94, 95.
Walked up and said, I just got laid.
That's right.
You remember the first joke you ever wrote? Do you remember any of the early, any of that set? Can you recall any of the jokes in that set?
No, I can't. They were all terrible. They were all just terrible.
That was the early days. He was like, "Hi guys, welcome to masturbating with Sean Westfall." Yeah.
I think I tried to do a joke about I was taking a rhetoric class or a logic class, and I was talking about a classical syllogism, and I tried to make a pun on the word syllogism. Hey, I just jacked off of this window. It's a syllogism. I think I'm almost certain that was like my first. It was so fucking awful. It's punny and pretentious simultaneously.
Yes.
Which if that's who I am right there.
And it involves jizz, which is why you're on the Papa's Basement podcast.
Exactly. Right.
I remember my first, the ending of my first set. I think this was like on my 26th birthday, and then I just never did stand up for another decade.
Yeah.
But it was about like I jerked it and then drove over so quickly that I didn't have time to wash my hands, and then I touched the mic without washing them or something. And then I was like, and now I pass it to you next stand up. And like everyone was like, what the fuck?
Wow. You jizzed on the mic.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's more like jacking it with Papa Giorgio.
Yeah.
It is, yeah.
I remember.
Well, Sean taught me, but I taught him.
Michael, when did you masturbate on stage?
Oh, my first time doing stand up.
Yeah.
I can remember my bits because I would smoke pot and then I would sit around and try to think of bits to do.
Right.
And then I would get up on stage and as they were coming out of my mouth, I would be like, oh, this makes no sense. Even to me.
Have you been studying at the Joe Gagliardi School of Comedy?
Oh, it was awful. Yeah. I would get up there and I would have a funny thought. At least I thought I did. And I would have no follow up.
Right.
I would just have like I don't know what I was expecting.
Right, right.
Because like the premise would just be between me and
right.
You know, whatever bong I had wrote it with.
I think there's a lot of comedians who think that that's how Hedberg operated, that he like had random funny thoughts.
But no,
he had set up
very precise.
Very precise. I mean, every word was picked and chosen.
Extremely
carefully.
So. Yeah.
Also, he wasn't weed; he was heroin.
Yeah, it's exactly. Let's
and heroin really brings out the funny.
That's right. Hendrix was hilarious.
Yeah, well,
in that case, apparently speedballs are fucking hysterical.
Yeah,
I mean, Jesus,
true.
How many dropped? I mean,
what?
Belushi,
River Phoenix.
Well, he's not a comedian.
Oh, he was funnier than all
Chris
of them.
Chris Farley,
you ever
Speedball,
seen Name of the
Belushi,
Rose?
Speedball, Sam Kinison, Speedball.
Sam Kinison died in a fucking car accident.
Sam Kinison died in an auto accident.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Are you goddamn kidding me?
But the vanity plate on the other car was Speedball.
So yes, Speedball did kill him.
Was he drunk or something?
No, the other guy.
In fact, he had just turned his life around.
I remember the Hollywood true
story.
Yeah.
He was like,
what?
Oh, no, not like this.
Now I remember why I know that.
And then his last words were like,
he's like okay.
And he like thought, one of the guys there thought he saw.
His brother, right?
Or felt him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His brother was with him.
Wait, has someone felt the soul leave?
His brother did.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what his brother claims. Of course, he and his brother both were raised in, like, Baptist church.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And his brother said it was James Mason who took him to look for a body while he was going to become quarterback for the Los Angeles Rams.
Classic.
Michael Johnson. 40-year-old joke.
Michael. And make James Mason. Look, Sam Kinison, you must go to the house.
That's a pretty so good is James it Mason. True
That's Sam my leg, James Mason.
Brother, like, would also jerk it on stage?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, that was his opening act.
What, his last words were, okay?
Yeah, it was like
it was like, accepting.
Like yeah. He was seeing, yeah. Like, you know, people were like, no, you're coming.
Yeah.
No, oh, like he was like,
the angels were like, no, Sam. No!
Stop dilly-dallying!
And then all his brother could see was like, oh, okay.
You yeah.
The trench coat
no, it was actually
stays.
Incredibly sad. I remember it being announced to me via MTV News. Tabitha Soren.
I thought for sure, my entire life, I thought Sam Kinison died from an overdose.
I mean, he probably should have.
Yeah, it makes you feel better, Joe. He
well, you
died
know,
earlier.
Mark Maron blames all his, so much worse. What, leaving L.A. because of Sam Kinison.
What? Why?
Because he was so, Maron says he was so, strung out and addicted to coke that he was starting to have like a psychotic break, and
oh man,
he had to get away from just the atmosphere, so he went back to Boston.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Like wow. Were Maron and Kinison, were they like partying together?
Is oh that, yeah. Like, Kinison like friend, took yeah. him under, his and like yeah. Maron would like drive people, like pick people up for them. He was the working gig? The door. And I think that's when Kinison started.
I'll say something I've never said on this show before, and this is actually 100% the level.
Get your popcorn ready.
No, like for real. My cousin lives in Vegas and like joined Andrew Dice Clay's entourage and got like heavy into drugs. And
really?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Like my uncle is just like, motherfuck Andrew Dice Clay. Like he ruined my child's life.
Wow.
Yeah, not funny. Don't know why I'm laughing.
Is he okay now?
No. He's completely junked out still, dude.
What was he? Oh man, needles.
Like
pills,
booze, and meth. I think.
That's
yeah,
bad. That's bad. The booze will get
wait,
you.
Wait. So I've seen pictures of Dice, and he doesn't look like he's on meth at all.
No, I think he just like somehow got into like he got access to stuff. By being in this little entourage. No, I don't think. Yeah, Dice doesn't look very methy. Yeah.
Nah.
I feel like Andrew Dice Clay and I will probably age similarly. No?
Why?
Well, because he's just like a... Well, don't you know who... Do you know who Andrew Dice Clay is? I feel like you know,
I do.
He's like a greaseball Italian.
He's an old Jewish guy like, pretending he's Italian.
Yeah, I know. That's my point.
Yeah.
I'm a greasy Italian pretending I'm Italian.
Okay.
I'm a greasy Italian pretending I'm Jewish.
Yeah.
What's in the bowl, bitch?
It's very meta. What's in the... Oh! Yeah. What you got in that sandwich?
No. So that this is what me being real on any level brings to the show. Just a death of momentum.
And scene.
This thing was stopped harder than Kinison's car.
Wow. Yikes. Too soon.
How are we
soon.
Doing? Have we bored listeners long enough?
Too soon.
No. If you want to bail, yeah.
Now, what, does Maria still want to call, or is that moment passed?
Oh, you
Maria
know what?
Bamford?
Yeah, Maria Bamford.
Maria Bamford. Who's on the live chat? Oh, Christopher Ulrich was...
Get the fuck out.
Yeah.
He's an angel. He doesn't need to hear this shit coming out of
Ulrich.
My
What's the number?
Shit, I actually know this. Give me 1 second.
900.
Hold on. I might actually know.
Send a text message to 21221.
Don't tell them to do that.
Reply no to stop. Reply stop to cancel. Reply yes to receive unlimited marketing messages.
This is FCAC.
Well, while we look up the number for the station, does anyone have any shows coming up?
Okay, I got it. I got the number. 703-876-9753. Again, 703-876-9753.
Call now.
Yeah, I'm going to figure out how to take calls on air. Give me a second. I've never taken one in the studio before. I fucking hate samples and I hate callers, you know? I just like talking to
You them. Hate samples?
Yeah, like I used to the first several years of the show, I would try to be Don Geronimo.
Don Geronimo.
That's my man. And I would like try to run a soundboard while hosting the show.
Oh, wow.
And oh, you mean like the like ding?
Yeah. Or just I had like an army of sound bites. Like I would spend my off weeks like, well, I should say the days not in studio, I would cut little samples to play through the computer.
Baba Booey.
Yeah,
Baba Booey.
Exactly.
Baba Booey.
Howard Stern's penis. And then I would just play, like I also had like a 60-second clip, like a comedy clip that would be at the intro of every episode. And then I just stopped doing that shit.
Are people trying to call now?
No, no one cares.
All right, cool.
I'm just, I feel bad. Like Michael's been up since like 4:30 or some shit.
Oh, I'm okay.
No.
All right. No,
I worry about it. Yeah, you're not.
Let's end it. Let's end it all?
Yeah, let's fuck. He's leaving. Well, is there anything he's living
no.
for?
He's not leaving.
What are you going to do? You know? Well, so, we did say we were going to try to get, we were going to see if maybe.
Let's really take this show into the fucking ground.
Okay.
Let's sing happy birthday
or something?
Oh, that's a better idea. No.
For he's going to
we should do like a, not, I guess the equivalent of a bat. We should do like one.
Bat mitzvah?
You want to do a you
like
wanna
improv
do
in the dark?
Yeah, improv in the
like
dark.
Like a improv scene.
Hey.
Oh, no.
What's the worst case scenario? Is
sorry,
the
so, like so, laugh.
So now we're going to going. Now we're becoming improv for humans. Is that what?
Let's do improv for humans.
What is improv for humans?
Papa's
improv in the dark.
That's Besser's podcast where they do scenes. Improvised scenes.
Oh
so
shit! This is the thing.
We'll take maybe we'll get a topic. And then
right.
we'll talk about it a little bit, and then you know. You kind of clear the stage, and then someone just makes an initiation. And the only thing that
we have actually done, we've done improv on the radio. We remember we were on Sirius.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys were on Sirius, like no bullshit.
Yeah, we
Sirius.
Yeah,
Sirius.
We were. We were on.
Suck, did it?
No, it was pretty. It was pretty good. Yeah. We
were on Howard Stern.
We were guests on a show on Sirius.
Wow.
Yeah.
You want to do
got,
it, Joe?
I got a random word generator here.
Right.
Oh my god. Okay. First, for anyone that listens to this as a podcast and wants to keep listening, just leave now.
Yeah. Hey.
It's gonna get real fruity. Real.
Hey,
fast.
Anyone not interested in this? Fuck you. Yeah.
And fuck
start
your
own
mother.
Podcast.
Yeah.
Michael Johnson.
No.
Dear audience.
I said that.
All right, so Bixby, I'm going to ask Bixby here.
What the fuck is a Bixby?
Bixby is the Samsung Bixby. Siri. Bixby is Samsung
Oh my, that's
Siri.
So knockoff. That's
Bixby.
So, oh,
yeah, Bixby.
Bixby.
Or, Bixby, generate. I need a word. I need
or
a word.
Bill
any
Bixby.
Word.
Like, I was going to say,
Bill
the guy
Bixby.
That played the fucking hall.
People let me tell you about my best friend.
Wait.
He's a 100 person.
I thought Bill Bixby was the Hulk.
Yeah. Well, he was also the Hulk, but he was also in the court. He was Eddie's father.
Yeah. Oh, did he sing that song?
No, that was the theme song.
Did he play the Asian maid?
No.
Things were really racist back then.
Yeah, of course it was. It was the courtship of Eddie's father.
Oh, I have no idea what
Bill
that
Bixby.
Was. Okay.
People let me tell you about my bed.
But he didn't sing that.
No.
I couldn't picture him singing that.
No.
You know what? I want to sing that, and then I'm going to picture the Hulk singing that.
People let me tell
Lou Ferrigno.
I was going to say, the Lulu voice is very close to your deaf
no,
walking.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, Dad. Okay.
People let me tell you about my best friend.
What was the kid? With your dad.
Yeah. He'd be damned. Yeah, no, I can only. So this is a Samsung commercial, by the way.
A fucking word.
Let's do this.
God here we go. Sakes, okay, here we go. I got it. There's... Okay. All right. The word is glorious.
Glorious.
Glorious. So what are we doing? Gets? Are we doing gets? Am I in a fucking scene with Sean?
Glorious
Westfall?
Makes
oh
me think
God.
Of the Papa's Basement podcast, which is just the best thing I've ever
Do we A to C this, which always makes me think, we're
no,
getting the
banter,
signal.
Just banter. What, we need to get out of here?
Why? Oh, he was giving me the 30 signal.
30 yeah. minutes?
Yeah, which yeah. actually looked a lot like the shocker.
Okay, go.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll make this like short.
You got thrice. Yeah. You got the thrice.
I know. We'll only do 20 minutes.
Yeah.
We'll just do.
So I'm going to start bantering with it. Glorious makes me think of there's a great movie, fantastic movie with Elizabeth Taylor, Rock Hudson, and James Dean called Giant.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic movie. So long story short, Rock Hudson gets involved in a fight in like a side, like a, like a, a diner that's on the road, like dusty Texas town. And he feels, and they go back home to their house, and he's sitting there. She's sitting there. She's kind of Elizabeth Taylor's nursing kind of Rock Hudson's wounds because he's getting beaten up. He got beaten up in this.
Hope there's no open blood.
And
too soon.
Did we make the age joke? Good. Can we move on? Soon. Thanks very
too
much.
Too soon.
But anyway, she you know, he's getting all depressed. You know, things are looking bad, and she says, "No, it's not. No, it's not bad. When I saw you sprawled on the in the salad on the floor of Doc's Diner, it was glorious." And when she says it like that, I was like, that's, I think that's just like I that's what I think of. I think of glory. It was glorious, just like that.
All right, I like that.
All right,
yeah,
okay. Hi, could I get a? Why is your hostess laughing at me?
Well, I don't know why she's laughing at you, because you're more than welcome here at Stoner's Diner.
My son and I, he asked if we could eat here. We saw it on the way down. She's high? Is your hostess high?
She's, look, I don't want to say, but it's the name Stoner's, and I get a certain kind of A clientele and people who want to come work here. So, yeah, she's okay. Actually well, high.
Daddy, it smells like a skunk.
Yes, well, I guess I'm going to have that conversation. I guess, yeah, we'll just table for two.
Sure.
As long as, like, we can get food that doesn't have, like, weed in it.
Oh, yeah. Well, you'll notice on our menu. Here, take one. And there's one for you, little man.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You know, you'll notice there's two sides. There's the side that's completely free of marijuana and drugs, and the side that we call edibles. If you just stay off that edible side, you should be good to go.
Hey, Joey, do you want to just give the man back your menu? And do you have a kid's menu?
Well, of course. Here we are right here. And the same deal applies. You notice that this is...
Really? You have edibles for children?
Of course we do.
I want gummy bears.
No. We're not... Daddy may get some gummy bears to go, but we are...
Daddy, what's purple kush?
Well, it's actually a Jell-O. Can we just get a booth, please?
Sure. Why don't you guys sit here, and I'll be right back, and I'm going to send my hostess over.
You know what? Can we get someone that is, you know, not incapacitated?
Sure. That'll be my son. My own son. Derek!
Hey! Hey! Yeah, what's up, Bob?
Yeah, why don't you take care of these two fine diners here at our establishment?
Why couldn't Liz do it?
Well, you know why Liz can't do it? Because she's blasted out of her gourd.
I can do it. I can do it.
She was ripping dabs.
How old are you?
he obviously is much older than he sounds.
What? Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. Just the
ripping dabs.
You know his stuff. Just Derek. Just take care of them. I have to go in the back.
I'm blowing.
All right. What section are they going in? What section?
We would just like a booth, please.
A booth, but which of our? Did we not? Okay. All right.
Wow. All right. How do you guys stay open?
It's a long story. Derek, why don't you handle this?
Do you have somebody else? Is there someone back there that can just us to a booth?
Look, have I insulted your son? There's no need for you to insult my son. Did I call your son some whacked out stoner because he knew about drugs references?
No. All right. Fine.
I want nuggets.
All right.
Nugs.
Where are you learning this?
It's on the menu.
Can we just get a booth? We've been standing here. What seems to be...
This booth right here. Here.
Okay. Thank you.
That's not the booth I would have picked for them.
Well, why do you say that, Derek?
I took them as like a booth 17.
Oh, what? You just get a sense of them? That they're booth 17?
Yeah, I got a read. I got a read on this ombre.
All right,
here.
Derek. Here, you know what? You know so much about this business that has fed you and clothed you over 25 years.
Yeah.
You go ahead and take it. Fine, Derek.
Wait, you know what? One thing I bring to this, I know where people would like to sit.
All right, then bring that talent, okay. Derek.
Right, thank you.
You're moving us?
Yeah, apparently Derek has a sense of these things.
Can we just get a booth and stay there?
Okay, I'm going to take you to 17.
All right.
I'm hungry, Daddy.
I know.
All right, come with me, the two of you.
What did you... Do you have anything to eat on the way down here?
No.
All right, here's 17.
Oh, thank you. This is nice. I like the view, and yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. You hear that?
I hear that.
Okay.
I will have a cup of coffee.
Oh, that's not my job. I'm going to send the waitress over.
Jesus, who is your... All right, fine.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I haven't eaten, and I think my son is high.
I'm sorry I'm so late. My name is Roxanne, and I'm... Oh, my God, is that your son? He's so cute. Hi. Look at that. Little...
Do you have nuggets?
We do have nuggets.
Is there anyone that's sober here? Is there anyone at all?
The cook is sober because that's a health code regulation. Well, can't be stoned and work a hot grill.
Can you send the cook out here to wait on us?
Sure. Hold on 1 second. Leon!
What?
Leon!
Why?
Hey, booth 17 needs to see you. And we all know what goes on in booth 17.
What goes on in booth 17?
Well, we just get a feeling.
Yeah, what'd you want?
Hi, are you sober?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Great. Thank you. Thank you. You're legally sober?
It's a requirement.
Oh, I didn't know if you meant that. Never mind. Yes, can I get a cup of coffee, and my son will have a chocolate milk, and you know what? We're just going to go ahead and order. He'll have the chicken fingers, and I will have a cheeseburger with everything and fries. Thank you. And no THC, no CBD oil, nothing, no hemp. We just want...
I'm sorry, did he want something?
No. He's 8, all right?
He's... Okay, I didn't... He's just very large for 8.
I know.
Okay.
I know. I mean, that's the reason we were taking a road trip, is that we think there's something with his thyroid.
Is there...
I mean, and we didn't take a road trip because he has a, you know, hyperactive thyroid. We went to the doctors in Georgia and on our way back.
Oh, Dr. Telly's.
Yes. Do you know him?
I do. Dr. Telly swings by here every day. He's a booth 14 guy.
What?
Yeah.
Does it...
Before work.
What are you saying? That when he diagnosed my son, he had swallowed edibles?
He's been here for so many years, I would not even be concerned about that in the least. He must...
He comes here every day, gets high, and then drives 9 hours to Georgia?
Oh, my God. Hey, look at me. It's a Dr. Telly. Yeah.
Telly.
Hey, everybody. Oh, it's me, Dr. Telly. Oh, look at you.
Hi, oh, hello, Dr. Telly.
Hello, Mr. Severinson. And there's little Charlie. Hello, Charlie.
This is Joey. It's Joey.
Yes. Yeah. Of course it is. Joy, you look very good today.
I'm hungry.
Oh, hey, Leon, hey, how's it going, man? Do me a favor. Bring me number 1, number 4, number 7. Yeah, just bring me those.
The usual.
The usual.
Are you on your way to work?
Oh, I'm just, yes, of course. I am on
you
my
commute
way.
9 hours?
The time flies, man, when you...
And you stop here at Stoner's every day.
Every day I stop.
And then you go and work in a pediatric ward?
Yeah, of course. I'm board certified in pediatrics, University of Houston Medical Center.
All right. Well, this is great. Well, thank you for... What you did for our son.
Well, thank you for what you did for your son.
Oh, what did I do?
Oh, you made this precious bundle. Look at him.
He loved me.
Oh, he's this cute little boy.
Dr. T, I'm back with your huge.
Oh, look at that. Look at all the pretty colors. Look at them. There's gummy bear number 1. I'm going to name this one Teddy. Hello, Teddy. Goodbye, Teddy.
He names his gummy bears.
Yeah. I didn't realize we're sitting really close.
Yeah, you guys had met earlier. I thought you'd want to be seated next to each other. And 14 and 17, they're only 3 booths apart.
I know, but the way you have them situated, they're like right on top of each other.
Oh, yeah, it's... My dad's really into rhombuses.
Hey, excuse me, guys. My name's Jim. I'm over here in booth 18.
Hi, Jim.
Hi. I couldn't help but overhear. Your son is, I think he might be, he might be on the spectrum.
Well, that was a thyroid issue. We didn't really assume autism, but
yeah. Autism often manifests.
Oh, does it? I had no idea.
In other ways, yes.
I don't know. My pediatric
issues,
doctor,
the gallbladder,
was probably stoned.
How's his liver?
I don't. Well, fine. I think
I'll have the liver too.
Oh, that's his doctor. Hi,
doctor. That's doctor. Is that Dr. Telly's?
Yeah,
oh, Dr. Telly's.
His doctor.
Good to see him. He's a neighborhood favorite. Yeah. How do you like Booth 17?
It's fine. It's, you know, unremarkable and then remarkable all at the same time. So.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's nice. Well, good luck. Good luck with your son. I work with autistic kids. I think maybe you should come by. I'll give you my card.
Sure. Yeah. Thanks. What's your name?
Well, I think you know.
No, I don't.
He doesn't.
Well, you said it at the beginning. You addressed me at the beginning. You don't remember?
No.
Oh, my name is Pete.
I never addressed you.
You forgot?
Have you eaten edibles too?
I've been here all morning.
Pete, he's new to this restaurant.
I'm about to Stoner's Cafe. That's why I come
you
here.
You are at Stoner's Cafe.
Yeah. Was I?
You are.
I was?
Could you just get away from our
table? It's just... Oh.
All right, Pete.
Try the brownies.
Back to 18.
Thank
Sorry
you.
About that. Sorry it's about okay. that.
That guy smelled like a skunk.
I know. Could we get our food to go, please?
Can I tempt you with anything beyond what
why would
you ordered?
Why do you want me to stay? I'm obviously not right for this place. I'm a total buzzkill. Could you just give me a styrofoam carton with our food and our bill, and I would like to get the fuck out of here. Joey, yes, Daddy uses that word.
You know who else thought that they weren't a fit for this place?
I don't know.
Dr. Telly.
What? And then
he's been a regular for 7 years.
Well, you know what? Okay, then I want to get out of here as quickly as possible.
I think you need this place more than any of us.
Look, I used to deal marijuana, okay? So you don't have to tell me about, like, how cool it is or what it can do for you. I know the ins and outs.
No, not a cool thing and not, like, a money thing. A holistic thing about just feeling better and being more present for your son.
Look, man, I don't know if you've heard of it, but there's this little thing called Burning Man. It starts out in the desert. I'm one of the original burners. Look, I was cool.
Wow.
I was relaxed and I wasn't getting anywhere. And when I finally stopped dealing pot and stopped making wicker baskets and I sold all my shares in my tech startup. I started a new life as a really boring, vanilla, upstanding citizen.
Dad, you won't believe who's here.
What? Well, who's here?
This guy right here founded Burning Man.
Oh my God.
Look,
my dad is a huge burner. He has gone like every year.
Well, that's great. I am no longer associated with the festival.
I'm actually thinking of bringing you, Derek.
You guys have a good.
Let's sing our song that we always sing every day, and we'll invite our new guests to sing it with us. It's the theme song to a movie. It brings fathers and or to a TV series. It brings fathers and sons together. It's called The Courtship of Eddie's Father. People let me tell you about my best friend. He's a warm-hearted person who loves you.
Has anyone seen a cheeseburger and some chicken fingers?
All right.
That was a good bat.
The bat.
That was a bat. Is that what we're... That's going to...
Improv in the dark. We're going to turn the lights out.
We're just going to do bat casts now.
Bat casts. It
was fun.
Yeah. What are you doing next week, Sean?
I'm sorry?
What are you doing next week?
I'm working on my Michael Caine impersonation.
Okay. Oh, Maria says she can call in now.
Oh, do you want to... Sure. Do we want... Let's have Maria on. Let's do this. All right. Does she want to say goodbye to Sean meaningfully?
Probably. They're buds.
Okay. Well, there's no tomorrows for Sean Westfall.
All right. I am going to see if I can take a call. Maria? Okay. Oh, my. All right. Does Marie have a very long, let's see if this works at all, caller?
Yes, hi. This is Maria something. Alexander.
Hi, Maria.
Wow, she made it.
She did. All right.
Oh, hello, Maria. We thought you would be our last segment.
Yeah.
Okay. Close. I'm the headliner. That's cool.
You're gonna wish Mr. Sean Westfall farewell. Or you can do a tight 20 and you can work some of your bits on us.
Portland to
What's
you.
What's the deal with? Hi guys.
Hi.
Hi Maria. How are you? It's been a while.
It's been a long ass time.
Yeah.
What are you guys even talking about?
We just did an
improv for humans type thing.
We
just gave a gift to the world.
Yeah. We got rid of all our listeners.
Yeah. And they asked me what I was going to be doing once I got to Portland, and I have no fucking clue. So.
Hey,
moving to Portland?
Oh, yeah. That's the sole reason I'm on this podcast.
Spoiler alert.
That's right.
Oh, so okay. You'll be here on the West Coast with me.
Exactly. Beautiful. Nice to know that I'm going to be on
West Coast. Maria was a comedian, and she used to do a podcast right out of the station.
Yeah.
Oh, and she's moved on to better things, and I'm still holding it down in Fairfax.
Thank you. You have two podcasts now, right?
No, it's my same one. I've just renamed it and rebranded it.
Well, what's the title of it? Do you want to plug it?
Yeah.
Sure. The podcast, it used to be called The Maria Alexander Show, but that was a mouthful. And it is now rebranded as Wife Time. It can be found on iTunes and Stitcher and wherever else you get your podcasts. Nice. And it's just my friend Crystal and I talk a lot of shit. Oh, crap. I ever forgot.
Beep.
You can't
how
on oh, that was fucking God damn it. For.
We're fucked up now. The whole show.
Turn the fucking thing off.
Well, Maria, do you have a Sean memory from back in the day? When did you ever take classes from him?
I did. It was my very first experience with improv was in Sean's class, and I remember loving it. And I remember that he had just a tremendous amount of energy, not just like. For a person of like for a person of any age, like even
I hung up on her for that.
He had more energy than like even a toddler, and he was just on fire at all times, and it was infectious because guess what? It made me actually like improv. I came into it
liking it, and like, then yeah.
No, I didn't know anything about it. A friend of mine who was doing theater, just like local theater in DC, he wanted to take it to like enhance his skill set. And I was interested in comedy, but was like too chicken to try on my own. And I was just recently divorced and I just had nothing fun going on in my life. And I was like, I guess I'll try it. And it was great. I met amazing people. And that was it. It was awesome. But a memory. I mean, Sean and I have hung out a lot. You know, he's a cool dude. He's been on my show. Remember that, Sean?
I've been on your show twice, Maria.
Yeah, that's right.
And you, me, and Tyler. Remember Tyler Sonnigan?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
Tyler's We've calling
done it
in
all.
Now. Well, yeah, we pretty much have to kill the show at this point.
They're kicking us out of the studio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for calling in, Maria.
Yeah, thanks.
Of course.
Thank you.
Maria, thanks.
Talk to you guys. Keep in touch, Sean. Hit me up when you're here out west.
I will, and thanks for the very kind and generous things you said. It's very nice of you.
Of course. Glad to hear you guys. Have fun. Have a good night.
Thanks.
Have a good night.
We'll
see you.
Bye.
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 Bye. Well, that was fun. Maria, a student of yours who's now done better than any of us. And left this stinkhole town.
In many respects, yeah.
Well, you know, let me fire up the outro music and then cry and say my goodbyes to you and over the Street Fighter music. You wouldn't know the Street Fighter ending music because you've only beaten Zelda 3.
And I fucking rocked Zelda 3.
Dulls and fire!
Yeah, wait. Zelda 3 is Link to the Past.
Yeah,
right?
Link to the Past. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sean.
It's a play on words.
I'm sad that this is the last time we'll probably get to do this in the studio unless you plan on coming back to DC ever.
I'm sure I'll make some forays, absolutely.
Okay, but I have said this and I mean it very seriously. I plan to visit you in Portland after an inappropriately brief amount of time.
I'm going
to
be out of town that weekend, but good luck. So.
Shit, just my luck.
Well, can he jack on your couch?
Yeah.
I mean, crash.
Yeah, he can. Yeah, he can jack on my couch.
I'm a locksmith, so I can jack anywhere.
That's right.
Yeah, dude, just thank you for everything you've meant to me. And
Yeah.
I can't really put in words what you've added to the last couple of years of my life, but the $500 of Amazon cash you've given me, it's all the fucking language we needed.
That's right, baby.
You guys.
There's a lot of people that aren't here, too, that feel that way, Sean. I mean, you know your love, man. You're going to be missed. We love you. We appreciate everything. I feel like on behalf of the hundreds and hundreds of other people that aren't here to express our gratitude and love for you, man. Safe travels, fair winds and following seas. You're welcome back anytime.
Thank you very much.
And I love you too.
I love you too, Michael.
Well, we'll all be back next week. So, till then.
All right, everybody.
Daddy, I want nuggets.
Oh, Jesus.
Thank you, DC. Thank you for everything.
Ow!
Oh, jeez.
Oh, Captain, my Captain.
We're home free. School's out, baby.
Good show.
Nothing to talk about. Nothing to critique. Show, great guest tomorrow. You go home, have a glass of wine, whack off. I'll see you tomorrow.
That's the post-show critique?
Yeah, you're the best.
It's my time to go. I successfully burned all my bridges. Nobody loves me, and I don't love nobody.
Then he said penis.
Yeah. Then he said masturbation.
Then he said vagina. That was cool.
Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. It's a mighty hard climb, but I'm on my way.